This is the Men of the Cave podcast. Currently, we only have two men in the podcast.
Two men in that cave.
We have myself and Steven over here.
What up? How you doing?
How you doing?
Oh, it's going good.
Is it going really good?
Two men, one cave.
Two men, one cave. Mm. Very interesting.
It is.
So this podcast is basically going to be about all things that I think everybody likes. Movies, games.
Yeah.
Comic books.
Little stuff that, you know, that you usually say around the room whenever you're having a few drinks or so.
Exactly. And we'll go more into depth because we really, really like stuff like Dragon Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Marvel Comics.
Star Wars.
Mm. Movies. And, you know, we're just going to rap about things that we would rap with each other about, except you get to hear it. And hopefully one day soon, we'll take your comments and your questions and we'll put them in here. So this is the first episode of the Men of the Cave.
Up.
It'll always be me and Steven for the most part, and got a couple of guys coming on later on. Really, really good guys, John and Daniel. And then we'll have guests and stuff like that can talk about, you know, the things that we like. So basically, we're going to kick off the first show here with comic book stuff.
Ooh,
movies.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see that Wonder Woman trailer?
Wonder Woman trailer looks awesome. I'm not going to lie. I've not been a fan of her, you know, of course, because, you know, I grew up being a dude. You know, I am a man. But you know, she's always been there. She's always been the top leading characters in DC world. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I think this movie is going to make me a Wonder Woman believer.
Wonder Woman believer. Like, that'll be awesome. I think it's important to have strong female characters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like Marvel. Marvel's got a lot of tough dudes out there, but as well as female. But they haven't really pushed that out there yet. So I think DC might be doing a curveball by throwing her out there. Of course, yes, she's in the Justice League, but it looks pretty good to finally throw a female superhero out there.
Well, yeah, it's always great to diversify the superhero genre. Now that we're out in the movies and not just in the comic books, I think people, when you go to the movies, you kind of see that and you're like, well, you know, women probably say like, oh, you know, I'd like to see like Power Girl, and, you know, Black Widow's been doing it for so long with everybody. So
yeah, but yet she's the only one that hasn't had a movie yet.
She has not had her own movie yet.
I mean, you can't count Lucy.
No. Lucy don't count. That was actually not a bad movie.
It was pretty good.
It definitely was pretty good. So most of the people that criticize Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, they pretty much all say the same thing. She's not very Amazonian in her athletic build.
We're talking about the actress. Okay.
Yeah, well, so we're transitioning from the trailer and how great and awesome it is, and into things that people have kind of said that they didn't really like when they picked her or casted her. What do you happen to think about the more slender frame for her, more than you would see a Wonder Woman comic book or a cartoon, and have that character more, you know, taller and thicker, I guess. More full-figured woman.
Let's just get onto the nitty-gritty. You know, we wanted her to be hourglassed.
Definitely.
We wanted to, you know, because that's the way the comics and the cartoons, everybody's always portrayed her as this huge, voluptuous, curvy woman. I mean, she's, in the comics, everything else, she's awesome. She's amazing. But now we have this new kind of view of her. And I think the actress herself does pretty good. I saw Batman vs. Superman. And, of course, that was her first time where she actually came out into the whole series and everything. And I believe she did pretty good. She looks, I ain't gonna lie, she's gorgeous. She's a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous woman. I think she's going to do the part well. Of course, you got to get past the actual looks. But you got to look at how she plays the character. And so far from what I've seen inside the trailer as well as Batman vs. Superman, she can definitely play a Wonder Woman.
Well, I will say I saw Batman vs. Superman at the theaters, and we can go into that into our next topic about disappointments and stuff like that. But I did, when Wonder Woman showed up in the movie in costume and everything, there was a pretty audible happiness, glee from everybody in there that kind of shouted and whooped a little bit to see her. I know she is the most loved character in DC. So I think DC is, I'm hoping that they're hoping that this will kind of put them on par with Marvel, because, you know, for the better part of maybe 7 years, Marvel has kind of, you know, kicked DC in the teeth so to speak, when it comes to ticket sales and popularity.
It's like, I want to meet that one guy right now who's like, I got an idea, guys. Right? And this ain't going to happen in 1 year. But I say we make all these movies and leading up into trilogies and then have them fight Thanos in the end. What do you think, guys? And there was probably a big group of guys in their own cave. And they were like, you know what? That's a great idea. Let's start with Iron Man and then work our way through. Because for right now, it's working for them. Tremendously, tremendously awesome. It's going so well to where they just got movies backed up. Almost every single character that started now is on their third movie. Or is going to get past it. You know, like whole Iron Man. Robert Downey Jr. doesn't know if he's going to make his fourth one or not. But he's thinking about it now.
Yeah, definitely.
Thor is just coming out with, what, his second?
This is the third.
This is his third.
Because there was Thor, The Dark World, and now Ragnarok.
Captain America. You know, like, each one major one has got at least two different movies already. And it's working out awesome. So I think that's great, you know, compared to what's going on with DC. Like, DC did their best to hurry up and catch up on Batman and Superman. When in reality, like I said, we can go into a whole other thing of pros and cons for that movie. But they try to catch it all up in one good shot, and I don't think it worked.
Yeah, it is interesting that you bring up the gentleman, whoever he is, that says, oh, well, let's do this. I mean, you have some of the biggest properties in comic books. You have Batman and you have Superman, two of the most iconic comic book heroes in comic books right now. And I just don't understand how you messed that up. It's kind of strange when you think that. And Marvel, I mean, they made an Ant-Man movie. I mean, Ant-Man.
And Ant-Man was great.
It was great.
It was fantastic. I mean, it was great. The actor, I can't remember his
Paul
name.
Paul Rudd?
Yeah, he played it perfectly. Perfectly. Okay, so, I mean,
you take a character who you just don't really see come into the screen very well from a comic book, and he does great, and it just makes you wonder, can Marvel do anything wrong at this point? You got Doctor Strange out right now. Now, we haven't seen it, and even if we had, I'm not sure if we'd be talking about it right now, just to give everybody
no spoilers or nothing.
Exactly,
like
everyone
it, yeah.
That's going to be listening to what we're going to be doing, any spoilers, we're going to have to figure out how long is what is your time frame that we're going to give you as your grace period before we ruin it for you, because in doing this, this is stuff we talk about every day, so we want to make sure that we're going to talk to you about it, and you can hear us talk about it, and chime in whether you like it or not, and hopefully give it a listen. But going back to Doctor Strange, I mean, I think it opened with the 80 million. It's on top right now. Everyone that's seen it has loved it, and it just makes you wonder, like, how many characters does Marvel have that are so obscure? You can make them into big heroes. People don't know that Iron Man was a third tier comic book character for Marvel.
Yeah, he wasn't really the top base character that everybody sees in this new generation. You know, like, oh, Iron Man. Back in the day, Iron Man was not really that big of a hoot.
Not at all.
You know, they had the original characters that, just like how you see Justice League in DC. Well, Marvel had its own leading characters, and then he was actually a sub character, I believe. That now people are like, wow, this dude he's outstanding, don't get me wrong, he is.
Well, DC's done real well in the TV show genre. They have Arrow, they have The Flash, and now they have Supergirl. One of the biggest misses, I think, that they missed on, I watched Arrow for about 3 or 4 seasons, and I watch The Flash currently, and me and the wife, we love that show. It's, we watch it all the time. I know a lot of people I work with love that show. Where I feel that they really missed was by not using the same characters from the show in the movie. Because now you introduce a new character, the character that people fell in love with on the show, it's kind of like he's not important anymore. Now you got to build a new backstory. They're going to do a Flash movie. So you're kind of working over the tracks back and forth instead of moving forward. If you would have used this actor that you use in the TV show, you have his backstory. You have his little side adventures.
People know his face
exactly.
Already.
Throw him in the Justice League. I'm not absolutely sure if this is true or not, but I want to say Robert Downey Jr. posted a picture of the cast for the next big Marvel movie, which will be Infinity War.
Infinity War, yeah.
And people were pointing out that in that picture of the cast, you had the guy who played the Punisher, and you have the guy that plays Daredevil in the Netflix series, which is also great.
Which is great. As soon as you get done, I'm going to talk about the Marvel series, because
those shows are awesome.
Definitely. And if it is true that they're casting these guys for Infinity War, that's the smartest thing you can do. Now you don't have to make a Daredevil backstory. You don't have to make a Punisher backstory movie. You can keep it on Netflix, which you can make money that way. And then you bring them to the big screen when you want to bring them to the big screen. And you can make money that way. And then you put them back on the small screen on Netflix. And everybody's entertained because you get to see these stories. You feel like it's an adventure. It's never going to it can never end. And I feel DC really missed on this because now people are going to be confused. Like, oh, so the TV show doesn't matter? Is it? It's kind of like Star Wars and what's canon and what's not canon.
Oh, that's a whole nother beast.
That is a whole nother beast.
Like getting back to what you were saying, what the Netflix. What's out right now for Marvel? They have Daredevil. They have Jessica Jones. They got Luke Cage
just come out.
Oh, man. Okay, I've seen all three of these so far, and I've already enjoyed them from start to finish. And, you know, they do a small backstory on them, of course, that way you already know. And it all takes place after the very first Avengers, all in New York. I find that is amazing. Somehow they tie all those characters in. No backstory to where they have to throw these characters in whenever they do want to use them in Infinity Wars. Real quick, I'll hit up on Daredevil. Great actor. I think it was a great actor. The little characters they keep bringing in, like Electro and all that, you know, they don't go into their hardcore backstory. They just introduce them, use them, and that's it. Jessica Jones, you know, they mentioned her in, I think, the second season of Daredevil.
Yes, they did.
And then it comes out. You know, I didn't know nothing about her at all until I realized, like, oh, yeah, she was Jewel. But this is, of course, in the comics time, way past when she doesn't want to be a superhero no more. She just wants to be like a kind of like a private eye. And it was great. And during that one, they introduced Luke Cage. So now it's like, wow, each show just piggybacked off each other. And now you know three characters.
And now the Iron Fist is supposed to be coming out. And people are thinking amazing. That they're going to try to set up the Defenders, which is a whole new Marvel property that they've really developed into. I don't know much about the Defenders. Someone was telling me about it, and they were really excited. And it's a very big property right now for Marvel, yeah. And I think that's what they're working on doing right now.
And the old school comics, believe it or not, Luke Cage and Iron Fist were like one of the awesomest tag teams ever. So I'm hoping that they bring them out together for like a real quick cameo, because I mean it was awesome. In the comics, I remember seeing and reading about those two.
Yeah, the little subtleties that you get in the Netflix. Referencing the Battle of New York from the Avengers, you have the writer from the local newspaper that on from Daredevil, and that's what he's known for in his office. He has the front page paper yeah, that he wrote that's that. A Battle of New York, and it's so awesome to link things together, and they
and
do
those
it
little
with,
cameos.
Yeah,
like, what do you
little,
think, I'm Iron Man? You know, like yeah,
small
you
subtleties.
Think Captain America. I think that stuff's awesome.
And you get into that Daredevil, and you get into his world, and you're loving his world, and then you realize, like, man, this is so much bigger. Like, you forget, and when it reminds you, it gives you that sense of like awesomeness that you're just like, man, it is all linked together. So Marvel's doing great. DC, I mean, I would really love for DC to start coming up. I mean, the Christian Bale Batman's awesome. I loved him. I know everybody makes fun of, you know, Christian Bale's voice and
it,
that.
It was just, it was, which one was, it with Bane? That was the only one. Okay, that
Dark Knight.
The only reason
Knight
why
Rises.
I hear about that and crack it up so bad is because I was actually on a deployment overseas and I hadn't watched the movie yet. So from all the memes and all like my buddies and everybody talking about it, it was like as if I already had saw the movie. And when I watched it for the first time, I couldn't stop laughing and thinking of Sean Connery. It just killed it for me.
Welcome to the Rock.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
This gives you power over me.
I think that that was a miss as far as those movies go.
I mean, it was rushed.
It felt almost the way Iron Man 3 felt, where they just wanted to just,
oh my God,
let's just finish it. It's done. It's over with.
Iron Man 3 had so much more potential. I want to say, you know what? Yes, that is my worst movie for Marvel. I just, how are you going to bring in the Mandarin and not make him as awesome as he is in the comics? See, that's another villain that most people don't realize. He is one bad boop because this guy has so many rings and powers. You know, it's amazing to where Iron Man had to bring on a whole nother suit made of a special kind of I want to say it's a gem of some kind. I got to remember what it is because it's one of those epic battles. And, you know, the Mandarin, not only does he have those special rings, but he also has, I believe one of his actual powers is his skin toughens up and it makes him so hard, it calluses. So it still makes him a tough son of a, you know.
No, we can cuss on this podcast, you know. It's
I just try to be professional. You know,
it's okay. You know, sometimes those words will slip out, and that's how we're going to, you know, that our listeners, while we do want all listeners on here, it's, you know, it is geared to the more adult oriented listeners. So, I mean, we're not going to F-bomb everything. So we're definitely going to try to keep it professional. But if a, you know, cuss words slips out here and there, you know, this is how we talk. That's the whole point.
I'm just doing my best.
It's the way we talk, is the way we would want to talk, because we want you to experience it as if you were here with us, chopping all this up. So now that we're done with the, you know, we've covered a lot of the Marvel stuff, and man, we could go on the whole podcast time just doing Marvel and DC. We are going to shift focus now and go into another Disney property, which is Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Of course, Rogue One is coming out in a little over a month.
A little over a month, yeah.
And
believe it or not, the book comes out this month on the 15th. You can actually get it like on Amazon and stuff like that. I've already pre-ordered it.
Steven is getting deep into his reading skills with all of these books.
It's called cheating. It's audiobooks.
It's audiobooks, yeah. It was a little,
Who reads?
The other day when we were on our way to Mathis, it was a little weird to hear somebody read it to me. I'm not used to that. But it was kind of entertaining. But I will say it was disappointing for someone like myself who's read enough of the old Expanded Universe books, and I got some of the comics as well, to have all of that just kind of taken out, made legends, and it's non-canon anymore. But I've gotten over that already. A long time ago I got over it, and this is a while already in the making that this has come to light, so... It sucks because I read 20 to 30 years past Return of the Jedi, so I thought I knew it all.
Yeah, and I'm catching up on it. You know, it's like I said, I mean, like most of you that don't know me, I'm also in the military and I've done a lot of deployments. And just like what here Anthony just said, you know, how everybody went through their own little rush and stuff. He brought light to me and said that the stuff I'm crying and complaining about, a lot of you have already done, because when I was gone, you know, I didn't get to really experience this. It's like,
so we're going
to
get into that gripe right now, since I know you're kind of in the dark with what he's saying. So, bro, we're specifically talking about Rogue One, and me and Steven have known each other for a very, very, very long time. Probably since Steven was a freshman.
Probably 15 years now.
Let's see. No. Since you were a freshman in high school, probably.
It's got to be 16 years, honestly. It's got to be 16, because I know I've known you before I joined the Army.
It's between 15 and 20 years. Known each other a very long time.
It's a long time, right?
He's asleep at the house. He's friends with my brothers. Friends of the family. He's like family. Mom's mom. So we've had a lot of these conversations. We've played a lot of the same games. Speaking of games, that ties into our Rogue One, his Rogue One gripe, because I'm over it already. Rogue One, as you know, is the story of the rebels that steal the Death Star plans. And... you know, it's kind of mentioned in the scroll, the title scroll of A New Hope, and that's what we're going to get to see. For everyone that's confused about where Rogue One lies, because people keep coming up to me and saying, oh, this is the next Star Wars. It's the next Star Wars movie, but it's not the next Star Wars.
Yeah, there's a timeline here.
Correct. It's set between Episode 3 and Episode 4, and it's actually set right before Episode 4.
Yeah.
Where Episode 4 starts... Rogue One actually should end, like, yes. Exactly.
Yes,
that's how close it is.
But I don't really think so. Like you said, I have some really huge gripe and complaints. Okay, when I
let's get into that gripe now.
Specifically, I'll spill the beans on this.
Spill the beans on what the problem is.
Back in the day, if a lot of you that ever played any computer games, there was a computer game called Dark Forces, where you played as a character called Carl Kotan. Carl Kotan is the guy who originally went in and stole the plans to the Death Star. So, and then later on, this guy becomes also a Jedi because he comes out in Dark Forces Jedi Knight. But that's a whole another beast what we're going to, but I'll stick on Rogue One. My gripe and complaint is about Rogue One is not that it's a female. It's nothing about that, all right? I love Rey. But what I'm trying to say is in the movie, the way it's kind of portrayed is that she is a new Carl Kotan. But her name is not that. I actually have a book that's called Dark Forces. I've yet to find out if it's candidate or not, because Admiral Grand Admiral Thrawn is in it, so I don't know if they've gotten to the point to where they've got it. But anyway, if you want to look it up, it's called Dark Forces, Star Wars Dark Forces. Karl Katan pretty much looks like the same kind of story going here. You know, they go get his father off a planet, but they end up killing him because he knew something. He was a lieutenant in the Imperial Army, and then after that he goes rogue because, of course, they killed his father. So I'm wondering if, you know, somebody was like, you know what, that's a great story, it's not canon, so let's go ahead and steal it. Or not steal it, but you know what I mean? Let's go ahead and use that, but change the names, change the people. But at the same time, in the same book, there was a female assistant that helps him out. So what I'm wondering is maybe this isn't the Dark Forces that some of us know. Maybe this is before that one. Because, yes, they show the plans of the Death Star. Yes, they show the main engineer. But they do not really, they haven't, like, hit it, whether or not she's the one who goes to steal it.
Well, I have read that the director for Rogue One, Gareth Edwards, I believe his name is a big Star Wars fan, big into the canon, and he does like Dark Forces from what I read. And the female character in Dark Forces that recruits Kyle Katarn, her name is Jan Ors.
Jan Ors, yes.
Now, the female lead for Rogue One is Jyn Erso. Jan Ors, Jyn Erso. The Diego, I don't know what his name is. I'm going to butcher his name, so I'm not even going to say this. The Hispanic-looking dude with the goatee that they show in the trailer. They say what his name is. I don't remember what it is. Kasari, something like that. A lot of people have said that he looks a lot like what Kyle Katarn.
Believe it or not, his character design does look a lot like Kyle
Katarn. People are speculating that it's the same story. They just flip the characters. She's taking on the role of what Kyle Katarn did. He's taking on the role of Jan Ors. It would be interesting, though, to see how far do they want to play this out. Do they want to make her a Jedi? Because if they did, and then she ended up showing up somewhere in Episode 8, that would be pretty crazy.
It would be pretty crazy. But
I know that's a stretch, but
that's a huge stretch. That's a huge, huge stretch.
Well, they've taken a character from the Clone Wars cartoon, which is Forrest Whitaker's character, Guevara, something like that.
I believe he was a terrorist, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He fought with the Republic, mm-hmm. against the Trade Federation, and then after the Empire took over, he fought against the Empire. He was a rebellion. He was a rebel. He's a rebel and
a terrorist.
One man's rebel is another man's terrorist.
I'm all Imperial, so I hate to say it.
No, that's all about the rebels.
No,
you know
it's a dark side.
We win. We always win.
Dude, read the books.
That's
why they got rid of the books, because a lot of us won. Dark side.
This argument goes on forever. It's been going on for years, but he's actually been taken, and a lot of people are very excited to have somebody taken from the canon as the cartoon that was introduced in Clone Wars as a character and see him, you know, in person in a movie. I mean, the cast is awesome. It didn't seem like it was going to do very well, according to a lot of people. A lot of people were saying that it was not going to match up to what Episode 7 did, and they don't expect it to pull in the numbers or the ticket sales that the main Star Wars story does. But as it's ramping up, as people are watching these trailers and getting excited for it, it's looking like it has the potential to be pretty close up there. I mean, excitement
I'm
in this
still
going to
watch it. I'm still going to watch it regardless, because I'm a diehard Star Wars fan. Yes, I'll be internally butthurt if it's a copy and paste of Dark Forces and Karl Katarn. Yes, okay, I'll be a little butthurt. I'm not going to lie. But I'm still going to watch it because it's Star Wars. It's on the big screen. I get to see Darth Vader again.
Oh, man, yeah, Darth Vader. I mean, just seeing, you know, I was hanging out with your brother and Liao this weekend, and we were just talking about how awesome it's going to be to see an actual battle. Looks like a huge battle sequence.
Space battle.
Well, not a space battle. Like
I heard that there's supposed to be
there looks like there's to be in the,
there's supposed to be
in the
a
trailer.
Giant
there looks
battle.
Like there's a space battle. And there also looks like there's a ground battle, like some ground warfare going on with all those walkers. And it's going to be awesome to see if those walkers, I don't even know, they're so different than what we saw at episode 5, which is The Empire Strikes Back. And the new walkers with their orange side thingy, whatever that little side thingy is, that's going to be awesome to see what's the explanation on those. Are they an experimental type? Are they a new type? But to see Rebels and Imperials going at it in warfare, you know, it's like a Saving Private Ryan Star Wars.
For one thing, it should be the prototype AT-AT walkers. You know, before General Veers and all them get the actual full command. So that's why you kind of look at them. They kind of look skeletonish. Because if you look at the trailer, it doesn't look like a full-on AT-AT walker. It looks skeletonish because it looks like it's still missing maybe some armor or something. Or maybe these were the very first ones and they had a different kind of armor that made them too slow to where infantry could take them out. You know, because those big old things, infantry should not be able to take that out. And this is coming from an infantryman. You know what I mean? Like, you never know. Because that way, you know, because in the trailer, it goes dead on with them. And it looks like it even fires. So it's like, God, I can't wait to see that. So I know what you mean.
Definitely going to be a good movie to go watch. I encourage everybody to go see it. We will be there to watch it probably at midnight.
Yes.
More than likely. One other interesting tidbit that's kind of come out is that they were talking about the fact that this Star Wars movie is not going to have an opening crawl.
It would kill me if it didn't. It would shatter everything for me because everything has a crawl.
Everything Star Wars has a crawl.
Everything has a crawl. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Everything has always had it. It's always that, like, gets dark and then comes on with a, and it's supposed to scare you because, you know, it always scares me. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, it definitely is iconic of Star Wars movies. When you watch Star Wars movies, you expect to see the opening crawl. It's supposed to set up everything that you're about to watch, like those old serial movies, and you know, they've been a part of Star Wars forever. I understand that it's Rogue One, a Star Wars story, so it's supposed to be a little different, and they're supposed to have broken some rules with what they did. It looks Star Wars to me. It is Star Wars, so you need to do the crawl.
But the crawl, it answers those questions that some people have, like, okay, when does this take place? Oh, I can read it. Okay, there it is. You know what I mean? Like, you watch any Star Wars thing, and it has a crawl. Or you play any game, anything, it has a crawl. It tells you where in the timeline you're at. So why wouldn't they do that? That's what I don't understand.
That's a good question to ask them. I mean, you know, there's certain things that are expected when you watch a Star Wars movie, and I think the crawl is one of them. It also makes me wonder if they are going to take away anything else. I don't think John Williams is scoring this one. The music, you know, he's always scored all of the Star Wars movies. So, I mean, I guess we're going to have to see how it plays out. I'm open-minded.
I still won't get butthurt if they don't do it. I'm still going to watch it. But I'm probably going to look at you in the dark theater and be like, what the?
Yeah, you know, definitely. I mean? Yeah, we're wrong. Definitely going to do that.
I might even say it out loud. Depends on if I had
But drinks. We're expecting it, so it shouldn't be a huge shock. But you know what? I live for these. I live to go to watch Star Wars movies.
Indeed.
Saw Episode 7. I saw it 3 times in 2 days. Steven saw it with me twice with me.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was just awesome. I know everybody has a gripe, and people don't like certain aspects of the movie. But to me, it was a good movie. It felt Star Wars-ish, like it's supposed to. You know, I'm not a big fan of the prequels. I take them for what they are. I do like them. But I'll tell you what, when I want to have a Star Wars day to watch Star Wars, I pop in Episode 4 first. That's my goal. That's what you got to start with. You know what I mean? I do not, the prequels are just a kind of an afterthought. I have them because I'm a Star Wars fan, but they could have done so much better on those.
Okay, Episode 7, loved it, okay? It was, you know, Star Wars, new generation Star Wars. I don't know what's coming. That's awesome. But right now I started reading those, you know, the Thrawn trilogy. And I'm on the last book, which is The Last Command. And I'm not going to lie, I think that would have been an awesome, awesome new trilogy. It should have been 7, 8, 9.
Well, Thrawn is now in the Clone War, Rebels. He's in the Rebels. Yeah. And, you know, now in Rebels, they've introduced Wedge Antilles, who If you're a Star Wars fan, you have to know who Wedge is. He's the only guy in all three movies that's not, has no force powers, survived two Death Star runs.
Yeah.
Battle at Hoth, which is Empire Strikes Back. He's an awesome character. I was
In this new trilogy that I'm reading, you know, the Thrawn trilogy, he's even in there, and he's awesome. Yep. He's awesome.
And all the books I've read that's not canon anymore, I mean, they even had a Rogue Squadron series. They had 7 books of Rogue Squadron.
Wow.
That is just,
yeah, and it's
just
him.
The pilots. It's just, and but you know what's really cool is when you read the expanded universe, the pilots that are inside those books from the Rogue series, they're the characters and the pilots that were at Hoth flying the other speeders that didn't die. You know, so they have crazy backstories. It's just great to see the connection. I hate that they're gone, but I'm hoping that they're going to start all over again.
They're picking and choosing what they want. You know, it's like what I mentioned with Dark Forces with Grand Admiral Thrawn. You know, in the book of with Karl Katarn with Dark Forces, he was barely a lieutenant then. No, I'm so sorry. No, he was a captain then. And yeah, he was running his own ship, but he still had to answer to an admiral. But in that book, he was a captain. See what I mean? Like, so they're, now that they're opening up so much stuff for new Cameron, I'm just wondering what they're picking and choosing out of the legends now and making it canon. You know what I mean? I wonder how much more they're going to go with that.
Well, the great thing is, I think on their part, the way they see it is they can mine from there whatever they want. If they want to take Rogue Squadron and turn that into a movie, they can. The only thing that sucks about it is Wedge, the guy who played Wedge in the original trilogy and all the other movies for Star Wars, they asked him to come back for Episode 7. He declined it. He said that it would bore him. I guess being famous for just Star Wars at some point gets kind of old.
But here's the next question. Would he have had a big part?
Because I mean, he probably would have had a small part,
know,
yeah.
He probably would have had a small part. See, maybe that's something we don't know. Maybe in 8,
yeah,
you know, they come back, and now you got a bigger part.
Okay, yeah, maybe cool. He does.
You know, I'll do it. You know?
Well, the other thing I'm hoping is a lot of people, and if you're a Star Wars fan.
Here's another thing, and then hopefully he's promoted to something higher than a starfighter.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He should be by this point, 30 years later, if he's like, still a starfighter pilot.
You can't be a first sergeant in the Army and still be, like, frontline fighting. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, no, I'm a general now, but no, I still want to be in that foxhole. No,
yeah,
like,
definitely.
That don't work that way.
The interesting thing a lot of people may not know, if you're a Star Wars fan, you know this. If you're not, you may not know, but Ian McGregor, who played Obi-Wan Kenobi in the prequels, the guy who plays Wedge is actually his uncle.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, so I'm hoping, you know, there's a lot of talk about them doing a couple Obi-Wan movies, and Ian McGregor says he's down for it. I'm hoping that he's going to his uncle's house on the weekend and saying, hey, uncle, why don't you be Wedge again? It really make me happy.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man. It's Star Wars. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? You ain't doing nothing no more. Of course, he was in an English accent, but... I'm excited for Rogue One. I know Steven is. Just about everyone we've talked to is excited about it. It looks great. I'm just really happy. Of course, when that movie comes out, it's going to be hard for us to do one of these and not talk about it.
Yeah, we're going to have to like totally not do this for like, well, not this, but not talk about that subject at least till like, I don't know, maybe.
Man, I'm going to give people 3 days. You better get with it.
Oh, my God.
Get with it. Okay, maybe a week. We'll give you 1 week. We cannot have this and not talk about it. If you could be in the cave right now, you could see all the Star Wars stuff that's here.
I'm surrounded by it.
And you would know that, yeah, it's going to be hard for us to not talk about it.
I see so much Imperial stuff, but yet this dude thinks he's a Jedi.
No, there's a Naboo fighter right there.
Man, come on, man.
There's all the Jedi starfighters right there.
But like Imperial stuff. I think that's why I'm so home.
Speaking of picking and choosing, I think you're picking and choosing. No, I mean, Yoda's looking at you right now.
Yeah, but he's covered up.
He is covered.
If you can see his guys, he's covered up. I'd cover him up, too.
It looks like he's throwing the finger at you.
Actually, he kind of does.
So we're gonna you know, we could talk about Star Wars as well forever. So we're going to move on to another subject that we'll talk about, maybe not every week, but occasionally we will, especially when there's big releases coming out. You know, we do a lot of gaming. We're on Xbox One, by the way. Both me and Steven are. My gamer tag is Yoda187 with no spaces.
Mine is Decipher SMZ, no spaces.
And we play a lot, quite frequently.
Religiously.
And sometimes we can get. And especially when Battlefield's out.
Battlefield 1.
Battlefield 1's out now, and it is awesome. We went and got it at midnight, early day in Lister.
Early day, yeah.
Played it 3 days early, got some cool weapons that people were tripping out that we had. Last night I was playing with Newman and the guys, and they were like, where'd you get that Hellfighter shotgun from? And I said, Hellfighter pack, bro. Came with the early in Lister. Where were you at, doggy? He said he was shaving his beard.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, the beard. It had to be. And I know you didn't shave it. I'm just playing around.
That game is, I mean, that game is impressive. Like, the difference between that one and all the other Battlefields, it's, you know, because I played pretty much all of them, even on the PC, you know. This one is just so awesome. Like, the gameplay, the stuff that they threw into it. You know, DICE has made an awesome engine to where they can, you know, of course, you can destroy walls. You can destroy everything. It's a great, great system. But going back to the old school war that not too many people ever really do so much with, you know, World War One, you know, it's a completely different time. You know, Germans, of course, it was fighting real more of everywhere. You know what I mean? But the stuff that you get to use in this one, like the horses, those weird style kind of tanks, you know, to where it was like every tank pretty much was a troop transport, you know. And then the planes. I know I'll let you talk about those planes because I'm the infantry guy. I stay boots on ground. This guy can get kills in the air. It's ridiculous.
I really like the level design.
Yeah, they're huge.
I mean, the Ardennes Forest is freaking awesome.
Yeah, I can't stand that map because, like, literally, I'm not going to lie to you. You can crouch somewhere, and I won't see a Joe at all. I won't see the enemy until muzzle flash. You know, I know they use the same kind of stuff like in Star Wars Battlefront, but you can tell that they beefed up the graphics just a little bit more on Battlefield 1 because, you know, compared to two different, you know, because they're both forced areas. Battlefield 1, it's amazing.
I always talk about this, and I was just talking about it earlier with a friend of ours. We played Battlefield 4 for a long time. It seems like we played Battlefield 4 for years. And, you know, with Battlefield 4, there's very few single, you know, semi-automatic guns. They're mostly all automatic.
Yeah.
And you get really used to that. So it is very interesting to have Battlefield 1 that has a lot of, I use the medic class, so there's a lot of semi-automatic
single shots, yeah.
Single shot rifles, and the game is still fast, if not faster, I feel, than Battlefield 4, and I think it's amazing that you can take away a lot of automatic weapons and still have the game, feel great. Yes, it is so great. Not really a Call of Duty fan. Last good Call of Duty I played was Black Ops 2. After that, It just kind of fell off.
I can't even remember. I want to say it was like Modern Combat.
Modern Warfare.
Modern Warfare was
2 was really good. Modern Warfare 2 was awesome.
2 was awesome.
Yeah.
After that, I'm sorry. I can't even recall what the next ones were because I stopped playing them.
Yeah. I mean, we are Battlefield fans. You know, we're really into that, you know, 64 players on the map, being able to call in artillery, being able to
hop in a Vic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that full moron simulation. Especially since we play airsoft, and especially since, you know, you serve in the military, you get that feel of you can do almost anything you want in there. I mean, you can blow up buildings.
Yeah.
It's like somebody's in a building, and you're like, man, I can't shoot that guy through the window. You call up a guy and say, hey, man, you got a rifle grenade, or you in a tank? You know, just put a round right through that building and just knock it down.
Throw a grenade at the building. Exactly. See if you can knock down a wall.
Pop a hole in it or something. Flying, I was flying last night. I was doing airsoft. I was just dropping bombs on one objective and helping the guys out on the ground, which is awesome when you're in a squad and you're in a plane and they could be like, hey man, I need to help me. Like, there's all these guys around me, and you're like, okay, you can go help them and you can drop a bunch of bombs on them. And it's that cool factor where you're working as a team, you know, you're having fun. It's, you know, you're having a good time and you feel like you're working together.
Their matchmaking system on Battlefield 1, to me, I like a whole lot better than the other ones. For some reason, you know, yeah, it puts you in there, but then it tells you right off the bat, hey, one of your party members is joining a game.
Do you want to join?
Do you want to join? And it's like, oh, cool. You know, the other one, it just, I could be going to the restroom or something, and next thing I'm in, I could hear combat going on. I'm like, what the crap?
Yeah. Yeah, man, that sucks. I mean, I play that game. I mean, I've gotten in the behemoths, the airship, gotten in the...
The train is awesome.
The train, the big battleship.
I have yet to be in the battleship.
The battleship is awesome. I've
seen it destroy that castle.
Yeah, I have been in that battleship and fired the big four main guns, the double turret main guns, probably like 18-inch guns on there.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
There's an alert going on.
Oh.
Hold on.
Somebody got somebody.
Oh, it's an Amber Alert.
Yeah, it's Baytown, an Amber Alert. Texas. Baytown. Amber.
All right, if you find that guy, it's a cream Chrysler PT Cruiser.
Definitely. We'll give you the Amber Alert. It's always funny when stuff like that.
That was pretty
turn
random.
The phones off and everything. You try to stay as quiet as you got an alarm going off next door in the neighbor.
Yeah.
Got the Amber Alert. Man, I can't. I'm going to my neighbor.
America.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to love it. Which brings me to this point. We will not be talking politics on here.
That's a no-go.
Because that just seems to make people mad no matter what you say. Yeah. But we will say this. You know, I know we're recording this. Today is Tuesday. So we will say if you didn't vote, you should have vote. You should have gone and vote because it's your right. It's
it
a great privilege.
Would have made a difference. Maybe.
Maybe. And
either way, it's going to be the next four rough years.
It's a great country we live in. And people like Steven and a lot of other people that we know, you know, put their lives on the line out there, sacrifice for us to vote. So we need to do it.
All
so
right, let's see fire on that.
Yeah. So we're going to go into.
But I want to go into real quick. Titanfall.
Oh, man, 2. We got to talk about Titanfall.
Titanfall 2 is amazing.
I don't even have it. I pre-ordered it and didn't pick it up.
Oh, my God. Okay, I've been playing a lot of this.
Okay, let's listen to Steven.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Talk
now,
about
Titanfall. There's a few griping complaints that I've heard from, of course, players and, of course, myself. Titanfall 2, pretty much, you get to play this futuristic, you know, outer space colony kind of thing. There is also these new kind of designs that are kind of called mechs, but they're now called Titans. You get X amount of kills, and you get to call in your Titan. In Titanfall 1, you could pick only three different kind of Titan styles. You know, I guess three different kind of chassis, and then you get to put any kind of weapon system you want on these things. Well, in Titanfall 2, a lot of people are complaining that now that there's six or seven different kinds of Titans, but they're all preset classes, and each Titan has their own certain weapon, and that's it. Now, what I do like about this, what I don't like about this, is that there's some chassis, which are just regular old Titans, and they're awesome, they're great, they move, they're fast, you know, but their weapon I just don't like. But I see the way, you know, they did it, Respawn did it, which is the company, you know, each Titan has a weakness against another Titan, and then there's another Titan that's strong against another Titan. So it's a great game, you know, I've yet to stay a whole match with the same Titan. In Titanfall 1, I could call my Titan at the beginning of the game, at the beginning of the match, and I could stay in that thing the whole thing. So the multiplayer has changed a little bit. You know, you got your different classes now. But the big, big thing I want to talk about on Titanfall 2 is the campaign. Titanfall 1, they didn't have a campaign. So Titanfall 2, its campaign is awesome. It is so awesome. It's about one soldier and one Titan taking on a whole entire mercenary group. I'm not going to spoil it for you just in case you haven't beaten it. But it's awesome. It's worth checking out. I'm not going to lie. It's worth checking out.
Yeah, I played Titanfall 1 with you. I mean, we really enjoyed it. I just haven't been able to pick it up. I mean, I got Gears of War 4. I played one match with y'all on Horde, and then I didn't get to play again, and then Battlefield came out, and that's what life's been pretty much, Battlefield 1.
What was it? October's been a killer for the pocket because,
yeah.
You know, three great games came out, plus some other ones, you know, like they re-released Skyrim.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I got it. I had to. I'm sorry. But I haven't played it. I mean, I beat that game, like, on Xbox 360 and then PC, you know, why not Xbox One?
And it's been a great month, actually. I mean, I hadn't bought any games in a long time just because, you know, you get a little older in age, you have to kind of pick and choose what you're going to waste your time at.
You get busy.
But it's been great. I mean, I'm going to go pick up Titanfall eventually. I think I pre-ordered, like, the special edition, but they only hold it for 48 hours, so.
It's gone.
I probably lost it, yeah, which is going to suck. I don't know. I know someone that works there, so maybe they'll hook me up.
You might as well as not get it because there's at this point right now, you're going to jump in and you're just going to get owned because so many people already know the map. So many people have unlocked so much stuff. It's just really hard.
I never get owned.
He gets owned.
I don't get owned.
He gets owned in his pants.
Ooh. I really only get owned when I play my brothers at fighting games.
But that's different, all right? Why you got to bring that up? I'm good at every game.
Those two,
good,
man.
Good at every game in this world, but when it comes to fighting games, no. And sports games, because I don't even try sports games.
Dude, you know what's really funny is to watch when they play against each other.
When they play against each other, and if you could give them 10 rounds each, it's amazing.
I know, but it's funny because sometimes they get mad.
Yeah, it turns into a real bout.
Yep, definitely. Man, games, man. We've been playing games for a long time. Scorpio, you know, Xbox talked about that coming out. It's supposed to be the next big thing.
For the next 10 years.
I mean, Xbox is killing my pockets, bro.
It is.
I mean, if Scorpio comes out next year, I mean, the one I've only had for maybe like 2 years. 2 or 3 years,
maybe. How long have I had the Xbox One? Hold on. Was it the Xbox One came out before this last deployment, right? That I had.
I think so. I don't know. On my controller, it says I have a day one.
I have
edition,
a day one edition too.
And it should say it on the controller. Should, I think it's 2000.
Let me scope. What the?
On the front somewhere.
2013.
Dang, 3 years.
So there was 3 years.
So 3 years.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So yeah, I guess. Yeah. Damn. So it's only been out 3 years.
Well, I got a
That's
good 3 years
kill
out
my
of
pocket.
It.
I just figured that. Yeah, you're right.
It is. It is definitely going to kill your pocket. So we're going to move on now to Airsoft.
Oh, yeah.
Which is something that we've been doing for a very long time. Some of us have been doing it longer than others. Steven is actually the one who got me involved in doing Airsoft way back.
To tell you the truth, I can't even remember when. Or I can't even remember what year I actually started it. But I can go back as far as saying that I played the game when it was like spring action. Like you had to cock the gun.
I bet that sucked.
Actually, I mean, during the time, especially if you got an AK, you know, if you turned it, cocked it sideways, you could just keep going. It was the quickest.
Oh, okay.
But it had some, you know, it had some epic battles then. If I could go back in time and watch myself play then what we got now, I'd be like, wow, we've really changed. But you're right. I think me and you, I got you into it in, what, 2009, before I went on a deployment?
That's what we did. We asked of you what you wanted to do before you took off. You said, come play Airsoft with me. And so me, Mike, Matt, Cones.
Yeah.
I think it was just us
and
you.
And
yeah.
It was at
that Islander.
What op was it? Yeah, it was at Islander. But at what, do you remember what op, or it was just a pickup game?
I'm not sure what op it was. I mean, there was about 70 people there.
Yeah. I think it was just a pickup game. And That first game, we just opened up and everything went great.
It's kind of funny to think we used to play in and have ops that were like 50, 60 people, and we were like, man, this is the biggest thing ever. And now we're at, you know, 200, 300, 400 people.
400 players. At
400 players. So if you're not familiar with Airsoft, I know people talk about it with me all the time. Some people are familiar with it. Some people aren't. But basically, it is a replica rifle or pistol. Most of the time they're metal. You can get them at Academy. You can get them at Dick's Sporting Goods. You can get them at online, all kinds of places. Now, the high-end ones you're probably going to have to get
from an actual specialty,
stores, dealer, and online. And they're full metal. They're one-to-one replica, so they're about almost the same weight.
They're almost actual weight.
Almost actual weight, and actual length, and everything. They, you know, the mag feeds into the mag well. The newer ones, like the Tippmanns, you actually have to.
You have to pull back the charging handle.
Yeah, I got to pull that charging handle back. They're getting more and more simulated for their counterpart, their actual real counterparts. But they shoot a 6mm BB, and
I think max speeds, even for, I think, snipers, max speeds, it goes from 550 feet per second. And that's pretty fast. I ain't going to lie.
It is. It's pretty fast. And
I think the lowest we try to go is 325.
Yes.
Of course, you can bring any gun, of course, that you like. But, you know, the highest that most riflemen can go is, what is our joules now? 1.55 joules.
So, yeah, 1.55 joules.
That's typically about, what is it, 355 feet per second? That's still, I mean, that's got some pain behind it.
So basically, we're getting together all these guys and gals, and you know, go put them on a field or a facility that's rented out, and let them shoot at each other for 2 days almost.
Yeah, we give them a good military simulation. You know, we give them objectives that they have to hit. You know, certain things they got to do to make sure, you know, they can stop the opposing forces. Give them respawns, of course, because, you know, that's a great fact about training. You get to die in training, you know, so that way you learn from it, and you get to come back all the time. And it's not bad, you know, you have medic rules. You get shot once, you know, another one of your teammates can come up and bandage you. I've even seen an enemy force bandage the wrong teammate and then get shot by the guy.
Classic.
That was an impressive hit. So
yeah, we've been doing this for a long time with Third Coast Airsoft, which is now an LLC company.
it started off as just a community of teams. We always wanted to have games and came up with our own rule set. And, of course, we adopted rules and stuff from other various airsoft clubs and, you know, communities as well, and came up with a rule set that I think was fair and also fun, because nobody wants to play in a game where it's not really fun and the rules are so strict that you can't enjoy yourself. So we found a really good balance, and we've just grown and grown and grown, and now, you know, we put on events for lots of people, and the next event coming up will be Operation Starburst 8 in Mathis, Texas.
Yeah, it'll be the 8th Starburst, and it's going on in Mathis, Texas this weekend, 11, 12, and 13th. Yes, Veterans Day weekend. It's mostly put on for, of course, anybody. You know, of course, there's a lot of us that are vets, but you know, this is our great therapy to come out and do. And of course, those that aren't prior service or in the service, you know, civilian wise, you get a good little aspect of what it's like, as well as another tool for your tool bag. You know what I mean? You get to pick up some kind of training, you know, rifle discipline, shooting discipline. It's not bad. Like, I know I heard a lot of people that are first time goes and they enjoy it so much.
I mean, it's also a great way to for the veteran to get out there with some civilians and people that he might normally not want to talk to or maybe not want to spend any time with, because he may feel like they can't relate to him or her. And they get out on the airsoft field and they play, you know, 2 days worth in the hot sun and in some stressful situations and, you know, for hours at a time and take it real serious and have fun and get that adrenaline rush. And when they come off the field, they feel a little bit like they can relate a little bit more to that civilian.
Yeah, they get to sling those BBs together.
And then that civilian feels a little more comfortable. You know, they don't feel so, like, maybe intimidated or they can't do something wrong so around the vet. So it's awesome to see the mix of teams with veterans and civilians that get along and work well together and have a good time. I mean, the way we play airsoft and the milsim, the way we do our milsims and the way we see the campsites and when they're out there, you know, everyone's getting along. It's just like a really big brotherhood of
people.
Yeah,
it's like a good group that just goes out there and shares the love of the sport.
You can see this. We have Channel 6 coming out, local Corpus Christi Channel 6 coming out, news coverage. I believe Samantha Miles will be the reporter that will be out there. And we have a food truck coming out there. So this, what used to be backyard airsofting or small events has turned into a really big thing, project logistically, to get these things going. It's such a massive effort on the part of the staff.
And we're not just also Texas based either. You know, we do a lot of stuff on the East Coast, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. Hopefully one day we'll move into Florida. You know, we're just branching out as much as we can and where people want us to go. You know, we're doing our best to find unique AOs, which is areas of operations, different kind of fields and stuff like that to use. You know, there's other competitors out there, but you know, we don't want to step on no one else's toes. You know, we like to do our own thing, you know, so it's, we just do our best to please the players.
Yeah, we've definitely done a good job of carving out our little section when it comes to competitors. You know, there's a lot of airsoft producers out there that do a lot of great things, and they do it, you know, differently than we do it. And they got 24 hour ops and stuff like that. Everyone has their own little niche, and I'm real happy with what the little part that we've carved out for TCA, and we've been doing it for a long time. We are players, we play when we can, and we always take that knowledge into trying to make it better for the player that's coming to one of our events, and we have a good time out there with everybody that we see.
Yeah, I fully agree, and I can't wait to go out this weekend and say hello to some players that, you know, I only get to see during these ops, you know, and meet new people. You know, I know, I believe on this event we have a lot of new people that have never even attempted to play airsoft or have done milsim. So I'm really eager to be able to get to know these people, to teach them as much as I can teach them on little things, you know, and just give them one heck of a good time for a weekend.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's always a good time. I know we're gonna blow a lot of stuff up.
Yeah, I've been building a lot of explosives.
I know you've been building a lot of surprises and stuff out there. So the people that are coming to Starburst 8 are in for a great, great experience.
Yeah, something that's going to be completely all new. I know if y'all came and played at 7, I missed it because I just got back into country. But on this new one, you know, we're going to have destroyable objectives to where, you know, you're going to be able to fight hard for a spot, fight hard for an objective, and you're going to have a piece of equipment that you have to wire up yourself and set off the detonator, and you're going to see it explode. You know, it's no more of an admin coming up to you or an OC coming up to you and being like, okay, it's imaginary, blown up. You're good to go. No, like, you have not destroyed that objective until you call up your engineer or your EOD and actually blow it up. You know, we've tried similar to this because this is going to be the first time we've ever done this. And we're going to bring it home to Texas instead of the East Coast. And, you know, East Coast loves setting off their own pyro. They find it amazing. You know, they've done door breaches. They've reacted to IEDs. So, you know, Texas, you know, I'm bringing this awesome thing to you. And I know you guys are going to love it. I'll just drop this now. Those of you that are watching and that are going, tier ones, okay, you're going to get some really cool stuff to blow up, okay? If you don't know what a Bangalore torpedo is, okay, you're going to be using some Bangalore torpedoes. Watch Saving Private Ryan, maybe the first 15 minutes of it, you'll hear them say, you know, bring up the Bangalores, okay? There's two uses solely for a Bangalore, and that's to clear out objectives or obstacles. And the second one is a big hint, is mines. That's all pretty much I'm going to say. If you play in the tier ones, that was your little, you know, foot stomp on the ground. It's going to be a great one.
Now, these tier one missions is something that we started to do last year at Operation Shooting Star.
Oh, that was a good
That
one.
Was the first time we did tier ones. Tier ones are specialty type missions that are not part of the main game that you pay extra to play. They're only like $25 to play.
$25, and you know, I give you, those of you that know me as Steven, of course, but my AKA, I go by Coach because I love to teach and instruct. I'm the one who is the main supervisor for Tier 1s, and I come up with the design. Pretty much what I do is I make a real military stick lane, so that way you have to use what you know or what you developed or what we teach you prior to you actually running your mission. You know, like, key example, I'll just go right back to give you another hint. I'm going to give you a piece of equipment known as a Bangalore torpedo. I'm going to fully teach you the purpose of what a real Bangalore torpedo is supposed to do, how to actually set this off, how to deploy it, you know. So that's the kind of stuff that we love to do, you know. If say, for instance, a mission required you to bang and clear a room, I'm not just going to tell you, all right, here's your flashbang, do it. No, I'm going to, you know, give you a real quick 15-minute block of instruction on how I personally would actually stack up, bang, clear, and enter the room. Of course, you know, just like everybody else in the world, whatever you learn, it's up to you if you want to do. But you know what? It's another tool for your tool bag.
Definitely. And these raid-style missions, they're always different. I don't know if we've ran two the same.
No, negative. Not yet. Not this year. You know, I've yet to do the same thing twice.
So what have we done? HVT extraction.
HVT extraction.
We've done medical. Kazovac.
Kazovac. Knocked out a bunker.
Knocked out a bunker.
Cleared actually a mock town. They had to go through, clear out the enemy, and push out the enemy.
Conduct an ambush.
Yeah, that one was a cool one. They got to set off an IED themselves on a VIC. And I thought that was, of course, I didn't get to see it because, you know, we have three different lanes going on at once during this night op. And from what I heard on the other OC, it said it went off so perfectly on the Humvee that the guys in the Humvee were like, what did you put in that thing? Because I felt it, and we just heard ourselves get peppered by stuff. Of course, in these devices, there's nothing to hurt anybody. And like I said, I always give a quick 15-minute block of instructions on how to use this equipment. So that way it's always safety. Safety, safety, safety.
Yeah, we're real big on safety. If you ever came to one of our events, you would know the attention to detail we put when it comes to our safety briefs and you know, our admin staff on the field, making sure everything is working out well. So with that, you know, take a look at it. You should see some stuff up on it after this weekend.
Definitely. You can check us out on Facebook. It's, you know, just Third Coast Airsoft.
Yeah, thirdcoastairsoft.com. We have a website, and on Facebook, Third Coast Airsoft. And then, of course, me and Steven are on Facebook. Many of you that are listening to this probably already know us. They're going to listen to this. If you don't know us yet and you listen to this, you can always, if you have questions or anything like that, you can message Steven on Facebook. You can message me on Facebook. You know, Steven Zuniga. I'm Anthony Falcon. We will be setting up a Men of the Cave Facebook page.
Men of the Cave.
So that y'all can, you know, questions or let us know what you want to hear. Let us know what you think about what we're talking about. Let us know if you think we can improve it.
We got tough skin, guys.
We got tough skin. You know,
let us know what's going on.
We take constructive criticism. I mean, we love. This is what we do. I'm sure a lot of y'all have friends that y'all like to chop it up with, and we'd like to chop up some of the stuff that y'all are passionate about, and maybe we if we know anything about it. So this is the end of the podcast. We're gonna go ahead and head out. We're hitting about an hour, which is pretty good for our first one. And you'll be hearing more. I should be doing another one shortly with John Lopez, who's someone who wanted to be here, but he couldn't. So we're going to try to get one done with him tonight. I don't know if that's going to happen, but if not, we'll get onto it next week. So you could be looking for one of these at least once a week. We'll block off some time and we'll talk about some things and go out and see movies. And you know, maybe we'll talk about The Walking Dead. I say that because, you know, we really don't watch a whole lot of that, but I know some of y'all like that. So we'll give our, you know, our opinions on that as well. So for me, Anthony, and for
Steven,
we'll go ahead and talk to y'all later, guys.
Thanks a lot for hearing.